Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on you porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany? Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck can pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to Stringy.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know.
Where mama at?
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Heard this goal song 900 times last night at the Amerant Bank Arena. That's what it felt like. They were scoring like crazy, and I finally got off the schneid. The over-under, the total, excuse me, total for the game was 5.5 goals. I think it was 6 when we were doing the show, and then when I logged in, it was 5.5. I bet the over. That hit in the second period. It was goals galore, fights galore. It was this rivalry with Boston is something, but it was a great night last night at the Amerant Bank Arena. They raised the banner. That was awesome. Place was filled to the rafters. The energy in there was awesome. It was really just, it was a great night. That was a great sports night. We did the show. You were in New York, but I did the show out there, and they brought the Stanley Cup over, and there was just a, even with the hurricane coming, such a festive feeling at that arena last night. It was really neat. And then just to go out there and pound the Bruins, it was great.
I thought about Solana because he said he wanted some fights. He said he wanted the rivalry feel. But do you, on ring night and banner raised day, do you really get after it? They really got after it. So, you know, the hockey people are going. I'm in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. We finished shooting about 9 p.m. We go to some bar called Tommy's because they have no normal places in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Walk in, every TV in there, every other TV. Padres, Dodgers, Panthers, Bruins. Mm. Every other TV.
How about that?
And I was like, okay. And I thought about it like, we got some respect now. You got to put some respect on our name. As Birdman said it, like the Panthers got a little lower right now because of winning the Stanley Cup, and I love it. Mount Laurel, New Jersey respects the Panthers.
And then the way they came out and handled their business, it was really neat. It was really neat. Had a great time. Appreciate everyone who listened yesterday, and appreciate the Panthers who made it a really special afternoon out at the arena. I'm struggling my voice. I'm sorry. I'm drinking a hot tea right now. Get into my vibe. I'm throwing a couple incompletions here at the beginning, but I'm going to finish this game about 17 for 20, 480 yards. All right. Just bear with me at the beginning. For those who, you know, obviously are keeping an eye on Hurricane Milton as we are, it's a very significant storm. We are going to feel some of the effects of it here in South Florida. Nothing near what they're going to feel in Sarasota and Tampa and even Fort Myers further south down the West Coast. And then it'll kind of bisect the state. So it'll probably come out somewhere, you know, the Daytona Beach, Melbourne area. So there's a lot of bad weather, a lot of tornadoes. I think all of South Florida is under a tornado watch till 9 p.m. tonight. But we are keeping an eye on it. My suggestion to anyone who really wants up to the minute info, NWS Miami on Twitter is the National Weather Service. NWS Miami or weather.gov/Miami. Weather.gov/Miami. These are the latest if you're traveling from the airports. Miami International Airport, they say MIA is open and we're committed to ensuring your travel plans go smoothly. We are closely monitoring Hurricane Milton and encourage travelers to confirm their flight status with their airline for any potential updates. We will continue to provide timely updates as necessary. I Fly MIA is their Twitter account. Fort Lauderdale Airport, they say FLL remains open and operational Wednesday as they continue to monitor Hurricane Milton as it nears landfall along Florida's Gulf Coast region. While we expect some inclement weather here, Broward County is not in the storm's forecast path. So if you're traveling today, check your airline for updated flight status before coming to Fort Lauderdale International Airport. And then finally, Palm Beach International Airport. Parking entrances at PBI will close at 9 p.m. tonight. Obviously, as we get further north along the East Coast, the weather conditions are going to deteriorate. PBI says, please note that arriving passengers will still be able to depart from the parking areas. Individuals who are not taking a commercial flight should not store cars in the PBI parking areas. And the airport is closed tonight at 9 p.m. PBI. So we'll keep monitoring everything. We'll keep an eye on the weather. Obviously, if you can stay off the roads today, it's a wise idea to stay off the roads. Schools are closed. My guess is just looking at the forecast path right now, it's category 4 storm. Looking at the forecast path, probably the worst of it will come this evening and it'll make landfall somewhere. I'm talking about the worst of it for us this evening, make landfall sometime this evening, and then, hopefully be out of here and into the, Atlantic by tomorrow morning. So that's
I flew into FLL this morning. And it was a ghost town. Like it was the lightest I've seen the airport. You know, I got at 11. So yeah, not a lot of people there, but it was operational. Wasn't bad. Your flight wasn't bad. Like I took off from Philly at 8:15, landed at 11 down here. No problem. And so, but it's coming and they have the weather up on the screen. They're showing you it coming down. So they'll do it. And like you said, I wouldn't travel right now if I didn't have to come back down with the family. And through this time, if you want something to entertain yourself, as long as you have electricity, have y'all seen the Tampa Lieutenant Dan on his sailboat?
I am fascinated with this guy. I'm going to miss him, but I am fascinated with God rest his soul. Now, you know, and like, you know what he said? So for those of you who haven't seen it, Lieutenant Dan, it's a guy with one leg living on a sailboat, just like Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
but he's in Tampa Bay on a 20-foot sailboat.
In the eye.
And he ain't going anywhere.
The eye is coming over top of him, 150, 160, right on top of him in a sailboat.
He's not going anywhere. I watched one of the interviews with him, and he says, he's a likable guy. And he says, listen, you're on land, and the water rises 20 feet. You're underwater. You're out of luck. He goes, if you're in a sailboat and the water rises 20 feet, guess what? Your sailboat rises 20 feet. And it's a basic, decent logic, except that's not the way it's going to work because the hurricane's going to take his boat and it's going to throw it wherever it feels like throwing it, because you always see in the aftermath of a hurricane all these boats all over the place where they shouldn't be.
Yes.
So I pray for him. I root for him. I don't think it's going to end well for him.
The entire crowd of family needs a every 15-minute Lieutenant Dan update. We were just talking about it. We went to the pool. I got home this morning. I got in the pool with the boys. We're swimming in the pool, enjoying the last couple hours of, you know, of normal life before this rain hits. And, yeah, little Chad, Ava, Chaz even. He's 4. What's the crazy guy, Daddy? What's the crazy guy doing? And we'll show him the videos.
Did you see they asked him, can he swim? Like, if he did end up overboard, can you swim to shore?
No, what'd he say?
He said, I end up swimming in a circle because he's got one leg. He's funny. I like the guy. I hope he makes it.
They had like they're sending like firemen and police chiefs to talk to him. Stop wasting resources. Let Lieutenant Dan be Lieutenant Dan. He's not leaving.
He ain't leaving.
But I like these two little young dudes that are streaming it because I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by him as well. Today on the show, Zach Gelb is going to join us. Solana's dad will jump on with us, make some picks. Rob Pizzola will jump on with us and make some picks as well. Let's get headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Crowder, we didn't just get fights yesterday. It seemed like the Boston Bruins were more interested in trying to kick the Panthers' ass, even though they didn't, than winning that game yesterday. Cats were up 5-1 at one point, but there were more fights. We should have taken the over on fights in the game yesterday. They kind of made it interesting if you look at the score.
Oh, wait. I'm getting breaking news, on Instagram from a friend who says, Lieutenant Dan went to a shelter this morning. So let me try to find out. I guess all the hustle bustle got to him. Lieutenant Dan.
Coward.
Tampa.
Solana, I don't know. Dan,
oh, look at that.
It?
From WTSP in Tampa. Impending destruction from Hurricane Milton has become too much for even the most anti-evacuation adamant of people to not heed warnings. One such Tampa resident, nicknamed Lieutenant Dan, in reference to the Forrest Gump character. He originally claimed just a day before Milton was expected to make landfall that he would ride out the storm inside of his houseboat. The man has allegedly changed his mind in the day since the video was taken, according to Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. The Tampa Police Department this morning just saved Lieutenant Dan, Castor said at a press conference Wednesday. He has been rescued and he is now in a shelter as well. If we can get Lieutenant Dan to go to a shelter, we can get anyone to go to a shelter. That's a fair point. Like if you were holding out because, hey, Lieutenant Dan's holding out, well, he's no longer holding out.
It messed up my reality TV for the night.
Yeah. It does sound
actually,
like.
I think he'll be just as much fun to watch in a shelter.
He goes and sits on the porch, screams.
Those shelters
at the
can
sky.
Get pretty crazy too. Throw Lieutenant and Dan in there. You got a reality show.
It sounded like from that report, Hawk, he didn't have much of a leg to stand on in this decision.
Well done. I applaud that. That is excellent.
Solana.
That is excellent. That was
who
good.
Wrote that for you?
That was good.
Why does Lieutenant Dan, this Lieutenant Dan, remind me of Dan Day in like 20 years? With hopefully
100%.
Two legs.
Yep, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan Day will live on a houseboat sooner or later. Guaranteed.
Dan Day will live on a houseboat. Dan Day would go to a shelter, though, because that's like singles night. That's like speed dating for him. He's going from cot to cot. He's, trust me, Dan Day is going to have the time of his life in one of those shelters. I think Dan Day goes to wherever storms are going just so he can go into the shelters.
Hey, your house is destroyed. Where are you staying tomorrow?
Three hots and a cot and some single ladies. I mean, time
and
of his
some
life.
Single ladies.
We should start calling him Lieutenant Dan Day.
Lieutenant Dan Day. I like it.
So after the game yesterday, talk about a couple hours for the Panthers. They get their championship rings. They get the banner, which was badass, by the way. I thought it was really cool. Yes. And then they win, kick the Bruins' ass 6-4. After the game, the next Panther to lock in long-term is the greatest number 23 in the history of sports. Carter Verhaeghe signs an 8-year extension to stay in Sunrise. It was like a masterclass deal. by Zito and the rest of the Panthers brass. 8 years, $7 million per year, $56 million for Carter Verhaeghe.
Not a bad opening night for number 23.
That's crazy. I was asking about the window to Doug Plagans yesterday. Like, is the window the same? He was like, this window with another thing with Verhaeghe signing, this window is open wide right now with so many great players that are locked into the Panthers. Bill Zito, his emotion I love during the finals because they showed him all the time, but he's done an amazing job acquiring talent and putting them in Sunrise.
Their biggest impediment really is fatigue. I mean, Plagans talked about it. George Richards talked about it. I mean, they're just playing an unbelievable amount of hockey because they've been to two Stanley Cup finals in a row trying to make it a third.
And get your electrolyte pack. We good to go.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't look like there was any Stanley Cup hangover last night, mm-hmm. man. Because they were up 5-1 at one point. Before they even scored a goal, they were up 10-1 in shots in favor of Florida. Then they scored a goal. Then they scored like two goals within a matter of minutes. It was dominance yesterday.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, I think it was 6-2 when I got there. And I'm saying they scored a couple late, but I never felt as if they were going to come back.
By the way, Panthers are in Boston Monday to face the Bruins.
By the way, we were on late.
Might as well just stay in the parking lot and fight.
That's an afternoon game. We won't get on the air Monday till like 4 or 4:30. They play in the afternoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
We got.
They literally should have a slap fight, a sanctioned slap fight, where they just pick somebody and slap each other.
Boston would sign up right now.
Man, there was a million. You're down by four. Leave these people alone. Goodness gracious.
Are you saying we gotta come on after the game Monday?
We have to come on after the game.
Can't Plagans and Billy Lindsay just kind of handle it until 6?
You want to do a 3-hour post-game show?
I like a little less work, if y'all are asking my opinion.
You got less work. We're coming on after the Panthers game Monday afternoon.
Man, I'm busy, Hawk.
Yeah, it's a 1 o'clock game on Monday.
Yeah. The Miami Heat lost their preseason debut yesterday by 3.
Barn burner.
Was. That game had all the makings of going into overtime. I'll tell you what, everybody came out as a winner when Khalil Ware missed what would have been a tying 3-pointer from the high left side as time expired. Everybody came out ahead yesterday.
You were blurting out, D him up!
I'll just remind everybody, and real quick spark notes of the game. If I know everybody was tuning into the Panthers last night, the starting lineup was what everybody expects to be the starting lineup. Bam Adebayo, Nico Jovic, Jimmy Butler, Terry Rozier. Tyler Herro was out. He's dealing with a groin strain. He's expected to be back during preseason. So Alec Burks was in the starting lineup. The starters played the first 7 minutes, outscored the Hornets 21-12. Jimmy Butler looked good. Bam Adebayo, first two shots were threes. He made the second one. He ended up taking 5 in the game. Those guys who played looked good. Everything was okay for the Miami Heat. Then it turned into, in the second half, Summer League Championship team. And again, back and forth, they lost by 3. Tomorrow's game is postponed until next Wednesday. So the Heat are off until Sunday. They play an afternoon game against Zion and the New Orleans Pelicans at the Kaseya Center. All right, guys. We have FIU.
Solana, could you get some Flintstone multivitamin gummies to Tyler Herro, and actually give him some to Zion too, man.
Would you say Zion's going to be here on Sunday?
I don't know if he'll be here, but it is his Pelicans team. I don't know if he's playing. Truthfully, I don't know.
Bro, they need to. I hope them dock workers are still working to bring in meat. Because they better not have a shortage of meat if Zion's going to be in Miami a couple days.
The FIU played a barn burner yesterday. Went into overtime with Liberty. Liberty was a 17.5-point favorite going into the game. I didn't even mention it during headlines yesterday. And FIU tied it up late with about a minute left. Forced overtime. Ended up losing, but they did cover.
All right.
And then today we do have some Major League Baseball action starting in about an hour, I believe. You have...
I think 3:30.
All the teams playing today. It's going to start with the Guardians and Tigers in Detroit. Game 3, series tied 1-1 at 3:08. Phillies-Mets, Game 4. Mets won yesterday, so they lead the series 2-1. That's at 5:08 from Citi Field in Queens. Yankees are at the Royals. That series is tied 1-1. Game 3 is at 7. And the Padres lead the Dodgers. They won last night. Game 4 will be late tonight at 9:08 p.m.
I like how Roy got to you yesterday. He shamed you into giving the actual lineup with the actual teams.
There's some baseball going on. Tune in or don't. Who cares?
Bro, if these Dodgers get knocked out with the money they spent on
that'd
these
be
players,
wild, right?
That would be crazy. I told you, I bet them. I'm like, they're paying seven people $500 million.
Bet them to win the World Series game, or go to the World Series?
I bet them to win it. It's just Shohei and all the guys.
But baseball's so random, man.
It's so random because you watch Shohei and
Freeman.
Mike Trout. Like, I mean, you're watching like the greatest baseball players, and they weren't even a playoff team.
Bro, they have three MVPs on their team. Mookie's an MVP. Shohei's an MVP. Freddie Freeman's an MVP. They have an all-star roster. How the hell can y'all lose to these crazy dudes from San Diego? They got a lineup too now. They got a lot, but the Padres got a lineup too. They had that one. I think they scored 6 in the third or something. They had them a little run.
It was 6-5 going into the top of the fourth inning or the top of the fifth inning. Like, there was a stupid amount of runs yesterday. That game was drunk. All right, guys, your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Hawk already gave you the very important information on Hurricane Milton, expected to make landfall late tonight on the west coast of Florida. The 2 p.m. advisory is in. Sustained winds 130 miles per hour. And like Hawk said, there are ongoing tornado warnings and watches all throughout South Florida. I saw one in Weston that was
It was a good
monster.
Thing we canceled Smoke on the Water. That thing thought the event was going on. It got one of the free invites.
All your Swiss and Sweets would have been out of there. Swishers!
That is all your right. weather.
Zach Gelb from the Infinity Sports Network. He is going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I died on Saturday night one time, played Sunday.
Hawk and Crowder.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to talk with Zach Gelb here in a second. Because of the hurricane, we told Jimmy to stay home. Listen, he's not a great driver when there's not a hurricane. You don't want him on the roads of South Florida when there is a hurricane. So Jimmy's not here, but you can tell by the music because Jimmy panders to me and Solana actively tries to annoy me. And that's what you're getting here. I happen to like the Jacuzzi Boys because you said they're a good local band, and so I'm down with it. But it's very obvious when Jimmy's not here because the music doesn't sound the way that I want it to sound, which is Night Ranger and Men Without Hats and Devo.
Guess how many 80 songs I'm playing for you today, Hawk. Go ahead. What's the over-under set at?
0.
Correct.
Take the under?
Well, knowing you, you'll take the over, but I would take the under 100%.
I did finally have a winner last night. Panthers, Bruins, total goals over 5.5. Cash that one early and often. Well, just early.
You ain't sent me that one.
I did. Didn't I send you guys my bets before the game started?
I sent you Alabama, which was terrible, and now you have a winner and you don't send it to me. I don't think this is a symbiotic relationship.
I think I said it on the air yesterday at the end of the show. Didn't I say at the end of the show?
I think you did. I remember knowing you were betting the over yesterday. I think you did say it.
Yeah. You just got to pay more attention to the show, Crowder.
I got some Jimmy in me.
Zach Gelb is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We'll talk some football with them. Remember, if you're looking for Canes gear, why wouldn't you be? They're undefeated. Or Dolphins merch, check out Canes wearing Davey. Or Panthers gear. They're on University Drive next to La Spada's. Or check out all the gear online at caneswear.com. Zach Gelb can be heard weekdays nationally on the Infinity Sports Network. Usually joins us from the WFAN studios in New York, but he is on his way to the Mets game. Is that correct, Gelb?
That is correct. I'm in wonderful Penn Station, and I was in a great mood until this rejoin music. Man, I'm really depressed after that. Slow start to this interview.
It's Solana doesn't care about the audience or the ratings. He just actively wants to annoy me. Jimmy, on the other hand,
he's back in basketball like season. I thought we got a little peppers coming back from break, but I guess Solana's asleep today.
I saved that for the good guess, Gelb.
Oh. You know what? It's taken 2.5 years of me doing this show for Solana to finally have a good jab against me. Well done.
That was a good one. Took you out early. What was the reaction? You're in New York. What's the reaction yesterday to Robert Saleh being fired and the day after? How are people marinating on it?
Yeah, so I think everyone knew it was a possibility if they were to lose to Buffalo. I don't think anyone thought that it was going to transpire before the Buffalo Bills game. So there was a lot of surprise. I think that Aaron Rodgers made the call, but everyone's telling me that this was a Woody Johnson call, and that's been all the reporting. So it's tough for me to believe that Rodgers had no say in this, especially after some of the Cadence comments after the Broncos game and how the reporting goes that basically Nathaniel Hackett was getting demoted or was getting fired and then Saleh got fired. So there is a lot there. The Jets, though, what a mess this has been. But the crazy part is with how many mediocre teams there are in the NFL, and you guys know this being in Miami too after losing your quarterback. If they go win this game on Monday night, they're in first place in the AFC East and what's been a miserable start to the first 5 games of the season.
And I'm not fighting for Robert Saleh at all. 35.7 win percentage. Like, yeah, what is he, 20 and 36? Like, I don't think he was a great head coach, Gale, but was it an scapegoat thing? Because him being out of this building, I don't think that fixed the Jets.
So I think you're right. Put it this way, something had to change. I thought it was going to be the offensive coordinator. Then they made the decision to get rid of Robert Saleh, but the line still stinks. The quarterback still looks like he's 40 playing on one leg. Breece Hall's been MIA, and the defense has been good, but it's not an all-time great defense that they thought they were. So, you know this, Channing, even Jeff Saturday, when he was appointed an interim head coach, he won his first game. Maybe they're just trying to do this to turn things around quickly and then hope that you carry that momentum that you're able to create. But I'm not expecting it to be all that much different. Like, can this team still make the playoffs? Sure, but after what I've seen the last 2 weeks, I can't really expect anything great out of them.
I have more football questions.
They're going to fight for Ulbrich.
I just happened to see, just as a little aside here, what LeBron James just tweeted.
Oh, I actually saw this before I was getting on. Is this Milwaukee related?
Yeah. He goes, he says on Twitter, can someone please explain to me why we're getting on a plane and heading to Milwaukee for one preseason game?
LeBron's such an ass. Like, let's just be real. None of us have to really cater and ponder to him anymore. His social media is so insufferable. He's buddy-buddies with everybody, and God forbid with all the money that you make. And LeBron, if you don't want to get on that plane, you don't need to get on that plane. I'm sure the Lakers will still employ you as the star of that franchise, but complaining about getting on a plane going to Milwaukee, like, give me a break. Just shut up.
So here are the first two responses. Again, LeBron's tweet is, can someone please explain to me why we're getting on a plane and heading to Milwaukee for one preseason game? First response, I believe that's where the Bucks play, if I'm not mistaken. And the second one,
The second one, hey, LeBron, it's Greg. The reason for this is because if you were to drive there, it would take over 29 hours. So I'm guessing your coaches thought it would be more efficient to fly. Hope this helps.
Now, let me be clear. I won't call LeBron an ass if he ends up doing an interview with Channing on the pivot. Then I would expect an invite. But until
right.
then,
listen,
he sounds like an
Channing,
ass.
Channing changes tune on Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. Who else has he had on? He did Roger Goodell the other week. I mean, this guy flip-flops like a fish.
Hey, Goodell. Hey, Goodell, how you doing? Man, you've changed this league at a level that no one ever in the past. This Paul Tagliabue didn't know what the hell was going on.
You would see Channing hanging out with LeBron the moment LeBron gives him the thumbs up.
You had Belichick on? Is that right?
No, he ended up because he does Inside the NFL now. So we're up there all the time shooting the pivot in the inside, the, you know, in the NFL films. And, yeah, like I'm, you know – I've talked
Isn't that
about
awkward
Belichick
for you?
Certain...
Because
no, it's not.
Didn't
it's
he
funny.
Replace you on that show? It's like when someone cheats on you and then you got to go see them because, you know, you had kids with them or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny because people in the building, like, see me and they're somber. And, hey, Chan, like, you know, hey, man, good to see you again. I'm like, hey, I stole $400,000 from y'all. Like, I think I got out on top.
They did screw you, though. We could have got at least another $400,000 out of them.
Bastards. Let me go back to football for a second. So the Jets and the coaching change. Bottom line, whoever the coach is, can Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl? Because that's why they brought him there, right? I mean,
no.
We talk about the window being open for the Florida Panthers and how long is this window and the Dolphins, obviously. The Jets... I don't know, Aaron Rodgers, couple seasons left, maybe. What is he, 40, right? He's 40 years old, maybe older.
Yeah, he's 40 years old.
Can he win a Super Bowl still?
He's 40 years old. This could be his final season. I do think he'll play one more after this. But when he got traded to New York, I said, okay, the Jets, I understand why they did this, but anyone thinking he's actually going to win a Super Bowl here, I think is absolutely nuts. Because look at when he was in Green Bay, and Tom Brady had a terrible second half of that NFC Championship game where he threw three interceptions. There were multiple times where he had the ball back and they were trying to drive to go take the lead, and he failed multiple times. Like, he has been in there in an easier conference in the NFC so many times, and he has failed. I know he won that one Super Bowl earlier in his career, so why going to a tougher conference should I anticipate him with the franchise that's not as stable as Green Bay winning a Super Bowl? I just don't see any way, and I felt that way. It's easy to say now, but when the trade was made.
Is his talent, because I always tell everybody, like, when a guy is very talented, the distraction, he's, you know, the talent's bigger than the distraction. So it was something I was listening. I think Dominique Foxworth was talking about it, where if you pull up Aaron Rodgers, you hear about him running for vice president, him talking political, mm-hmm. him taking mushrooms, him having dark retreats and all this stuff. It's nothing about football. Is he good enough to cause the distraction for a team? Still?
That would be a good pivot episode if we did ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers in the interview. That would be a whole lot of fun. I would like the invite for that one if I'm just being honest. But you know what? No one's talking about the distractions if the offensive line was blocking and he had some time. It's no secret. You don't need a PhD in football, Channing. Like, you know this better than anybody. If you can't block in this league, I don't care who your quarterback is. Like, look when Tom Brady lost games because the offensive line couldn't block. But also mentioning Brady, hey, I think Brady got us all thinking that every quarterback could go play into their 40s. Brady was an anomaly. Brady was one of one. So when I look at Aaron Rodgers, I still think he could be a good quarterback. I don't think he's elite, but he will be an average quarterback and someone that's going to look bad if this offensive line continues to be this poor and give him zero time to process.
So, speaking of quarterbacks, Gelb, the Dolphins, they go to New England and they beat the Patriots, and it's Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Now the Patriots make a quarterback change. It'll be Drake May this coming weekend. What do you think of that change?
I have no problem going to Drake May, but my question is, if they're going to do it this week, why didn't they do it last week when they were going up against the Miami Dolphins, and now you have a tougher opponent with the Houston Texans coming to town? So I think that's been a lot of inconsistent messaging from Jerod Mayo. But once again, for Drake May, like, we think the Jets' offensive line is bad. The Patriots' offensive line could be the worst offensive line I've ever seen in all my years of watching football. So, yes, things could change quickly. We've seen what Jaden Daniels has done with the Commanders. We've seen last year what C.J. Stroud was able to do with the Texans. Drake May just has to create some hope, even if there's not a lot of wins and it doesn't look great, because the Patriots were willing to spend money the last offseason on a wide receiver, but the wide receivers like a Brandon Ayuk and others didn't want to come to New England. So he just needs to be showing signs that he could be the guy. It can't be one of these things at the end of the year where we're like, uh-oh, he stinks and he's someone that's going to be a bust.
Gilb, it's crazy you brought up Jaden Daniels. I was going to ask you that question because I'm getting those questions a lot when I do interviews. He's played 5 games, but he's breaking NFL records. Like, should we all buy into Jaden Daniels? Because he looks like he's a special guy. He looks like he's about to really do something in this league. He's playing Lamar Jackson. He's playing in Baltimore. I think that's the game of the week this week. But are you buying into Jaden Daniels after 5?
1,000%. I've been on the Jaden Daniels train now for a year. I wanted the Patriots, being a Patriot fan, to tank and get that second overall pick so they could draft Jaden Daniels. Well, that's not me saying Drake May can't be the guy, but I like Jaden Daniels better than Drake May when the draft process was happening. I talked to Dallas Turner, who ended up getting drafted first round by the Minnesota Vikings, and obviously he was with Alabama last year, and he told me before the draft, he said Lamar Jackson is his favorite quarterback, but he thinks that Jaden Daniels is going to be better than Lamar Jackson because he has a stronger arm than Lamar. Now, hey, Lamar is a 2-time MVP. Lamar's a great quarterback in this league, so he still has a long ways to go. But you see how quickly it could change in this league. The Commanders were down and out for all those years. They get that wonderful owner. I was going to say something I probably couldn't say on the radio. And Daniel Snyder out of the building. And then Josh Harris comes in. And, you know, they made moves, Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, nothing sexy, but good hires, good character guys. And ultimately, they hit on the quarterback so far. So it could change very quickly. And this Commanders team right now, Cowboys, I know they got a good win up against the Steelers, but I don't like Dallas this year. I don't trust them. The Eagles have a locker room problem with their head coach. It would not surprise me if the Commanders end up winning this division.
Hey, Gelb, I remember a couple weeks ago you were on and we asked you, are you buying in to the Minnesota Vikings, and you said you have to buy into them. I think they were 4-0 because of who they've beaten. Like, it maybe they're not going to be Super Bowl contenders, but you can't call them frauds because of who they've beaten. And I know the 49ers are 2-3. They don't look good. They're without McCaffrey. Are the Vikings right now the best team in the NFC, or are the Lions? I know that's going to be a good game this week. Are they up there? Where are the Falcons? Like, who's your team to beat right now in the NFC?
With what I've seen so far, and also factoring in recent history too, I would say the Vikings will definitely be a playoff team this year. I'm not ready to say they will definitely win the division. I would still put the Lions at the one spot right now. Philly, they have so much talent, but guys coming back from injuries, and I'm concerned about the head coach, Nick Sirianni, who's a doormat in Philadelphia. And the 49ers, hey, they've been close for so many years. And there's just a weird vibe around this team. I know we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and it would not surprise me if they end up getting to the Super Bowl. But the way that they've lost some of these games, the way the injuries are piling up, I know they went through a stretch last year where it was similar, and they ended up turning around and getting to the Super Bowl. But that 49ers team just has, like, a weird vibe around it. But I'm not going to go crazy over it after 5 weeks of the season.
Zach Gelb, the Infinity Sports Network. Did you watch the Florida Panthers raise the banner last night? Are you still salty?
I was very surprised after knowing how this show had so many broadcasts there that you guys were there yesterday. And I believe, Hockman, correct me if I'm wrong, you actually stayed for the game. Is that true?
That is true. Left after the first period.
I'm shocked. You don't stay for a Stanley Cup final game, but you end up staying for the first game of the season. Very surprised by that.
My testosterone shots. I'm back, baby.
Oh, so now you're active. So now if you end up, if they end up going back to back, you'll be up late night. And let's see if I get the sponsor right here. You'll also be at the Cheetah all night long after those games, right?
I will be. I stop before the Cheetah. I go right to Atlantic Men's Clinic, get my testosterone shot, and the world is my oyster
as well, right?
He's working at night, Gelb.
We'll
He's
see
working
you, Gelb. We appreciate your time. We'll see you, Gelb.
You got it, guys. Be well.
I did. I left after the first period, but it was fun. All right, let me talk about Gulfstream Park.
Like your sex life. I left after the first period, but it was
fun. I'll give you a good 20 minutes. You're expecting 60, I'll give you 20.
But it'll be fun.
20, I'll give you 10.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You ever seen a brown nipple?
In person?
Hawk and Crowder.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.